Now we're holding the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday. We had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah that a man commits znus with his mother, who was also his father's wife. Then Tanakhama had said that he's chayiv on two grounds, because she's his mother and because she's his father's wife. If his father's alive, then additionally she's also an Eishes Ish, but we weren't addressing that point. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that he's only chayiv on the grounds that she's his mother, and we were discussing where he gets that from. So we had Abaya saying he learns it from the words imcha he in the pasuk, but the Gemara had asked about that. That in that case we have another pasuk, the following pasuk that says eres avicha he, and wouldn't that mean that you have two miyotim and they contradict one another, as we talked about yesterday. So in the end, Rava had said that no. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, from Imchahi, we do in fact learn the miut, that he's only chayiv on one ground, the fact that she's his mother. The fact that you have the pasuk Eres Avichahi is teaching us a different point, b'chlal, that it refers to his father's wife. That in fact, that when a man is mizana with his father's wife, who's not his mother, that she is considered, even though his father is dead, then it's still considered his father's wife, and therefore that's aser. So now the Gemara is going to bring a braisa that bears out Rava's explanation of how Rabbi Yehuda learns it, and in the course of it, we're going to learn Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the relevant psukim. So Tanya Kavasei de Rava. We learn a Braisa like the way Rava explained Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now the Braisa is not actually going to name Rabbi Yehuda, but it comes from Sifra. It comes from the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, also called Teras Koyanim. And later in the Masechta, it says that Sam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. The same way as Sam Mishnah Rav Meir, the same way Sam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. So if we find a Braisa over there without the author specified, then we know it represents Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the Braisa goes as follows. Again, it's going to go phrase by phrase, darshaning the pasuk. The whole pasuk goes, "V'isha sheyishkav es eishes aviv." A man lies with his father's wife. Eras aviv gila. He's uncovered his father's nakedness. Moisu masu shnehem. Both of them are to be put to death. Dmehem bam. Their blood is on them. Which we learned yesterday that the moisu masu teaches us if once Beis Din has judged them guilty, then they can, if they can't kill them with the proper misa of skila, then they can do whatever they need to in order to kill them. And the dmehem bam, we said that was the gzeira shava from which we learned the chayiv skila. So let's look at the braisa. Is going to mention that point, but the braisa is first going to go through the rest of the pasuk and darshan it phrase by phrase. So again, when it starts off ish, prat lakotten, then like we learned before, that means to exclude a cotton. So a cotton above nine, if he's below 9 years old, is bia, is not considered bia in halacha anyway. So if he's above nine but below bar mitzvah, if he's mezana with his father's wife, then she would be chayiv misa if it was b'mezid, but he would not because he's underage. And again, as we learned yesterday, the chiddush of that might be the very fact that she is chayiv misa. You would think maybe that means he's chayiv misa as well. Another point might be when we get into the dinim of bnei noyach in the next couple of dafim. By bnei noyach, you don't necessarily have that concept of above and below bar or bas mitzvah. So maybe you would think here also. So therefore, the pasuk needs to tell us that no, underage, you can't punish him. Then the pasuk continues, "Sheyishkav es eishes aviv." It says that he lies with his father's wife. So mashma bein eishes aviv shehi imoy bein eishes aviv sheloy imoy. So that would mean that. So that would seem to imply that it applies whether it's his father's wife who is also his mother, or whether it's not, whether it's a stepmother. And you would say, so imoy sheloy sheina eishes aviv minayin. How do we know that the same din applies even if it's his mother but not his father's wife? So they were never married in the first place. Talmud Lomar eras aviv gila. Therefore, the pasuk says he's uncovered the nakedness of his father. Now, therefore, says the Braisa, which again, this Braisa, Sam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda, says, Mufna, those words, Ervas Oviv Gila, are extra in the pasuk. Once we say, that it's Eishas Oviv, it doesn't need to repeat, Ervas Oviv Gila, so therefore, Lahakish, for Lord and Mimenu, Gzeda Shava. So therefore, that word is, that phrase is available in order to learn from an Gzeda Shava. which the Brev further on, we're going to explain what the Gzeira Shava is. But the point is, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be using those words, Ervas Aviv, not to refer to, now we touched on yesterday, and we're going to explain further in the Gemara today, Rez Hashem, that according to the Chachamim, Ervas Aviv Gila is actually referring to having relations, doing Mishkav Zachar, with his own father. And the point being that then he's Chayev, if it was his own father, then he's Chayev twice for it, two Chatois, if it was B'shoigig, once for the fact that it's a male, and once that it's his father. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying that no, Eres Aviv Gila is in fact referring to his father's wife, but we're using it for a Gzeira Shava, that we're going to use it for a Gzeira Shava that we're going to talk about soon, in the Braisa, that clarifies for us that when his mother is not his father's wife, never was his father's wife, because to begin with the father was Ma'anis her or whatever, that nevertheless the same Isser of Imoy applies. Next, the Braisa continues. So the Braisa continues when it says Mosu Mosu B'Skila, when it says they're put to death means Skila. Ata Oyma B'Skila Ena Ela Ba'Achas Mekom Misses Hamuris Patora. How do you know Skila? Maybe it means one of the other misses based in. Therefore we have a different Gzeira Shava. Nemakai, as we learned before, Nemakai Dmehem Bum, Venema Lahalan, but Over Yud Oni, Dmehem Bum, by here it says Dmehem Bum, by Over Yud Oni, it also says, the last Pasuk of Parashas Kedoshim also says Dmehem Bum, and there it clearly says Skila, Malahalan Beskila, Afkan Beskila, so just like over there, they get Skila, so it is over here as well. Continues the Braisa. Now, thus far, we've been darshaning the pasuk the Isha Sheyishkav as Eishes Aviv. Now, that's the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, which talks about the punishment. In general, like we talked about yesterday, the Arayas are listed in Parshas Achrimos, and then the punishments for them are listed in Parshas Kedoshim. So here we have the pasuk that talks about the punishment. So the Braisa says, Oina Shamainu. So from that, we found the punishment that if he commits adultery with his father's wife, or with his mother, then he's Chayev Skila. Azhoraminayin. Where is the warning in the Torah? We have a general rule in Torah, Ein Oinshin Elaim Kein Mazhirin. You can't give a person a punishment unless there's a warning someplace, don't do this. Talmud Loma. Therefore, we have the pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, Ervas Avichol Oisegalei, where it says, "Don't uncover the nakedness of your father." Ervas Avichol Zu Eishes Avicha, where Ervas Avicha, according to Rabbi Yehuda in this Braisa, means your father's wife, not your actual father. Then the Braisa continues, "Ata Oima Eishes Avicha." Now you're saying that it means the father's wife. Einel Ervas Avicha Mamish. Maybe it means the father's actual erva, like the Chachamim are going to say further down the Amud. Meaning, in other words, that in that case, that if he were to do Mishkav Zocho with his father, he'd be chayev twice. Here is the Gzeira Shava that the Braisa had referred to earlier. Nemakan Ervas Avicha Loisegalei, Venemalahalan Ervas Aviv Gila, in Achrimos and in Kedoshim, it uses the expression Ervas Avicha Loisegalei and Ervas Aviv Gila. So we learn Mala by Gzeira Shava, Malahalan B'Ishus Akosim Medaber. So just like in Parashas Kedoshim, it's referring to his father's wife, because the pasuk clearly says as Eishes Aviv, Afkan be'ishu sakosim medaber, the same way here the pasuk is talking about a relationship through marriage and not the father himself. Then the Braisa continues. Ainly Elabaz Hora. Now, so you would only know then that So now, we mentioned in the Braisa before the idea that he's going to be Chayev even if his mother is not his father's wife. So we mentioned that, but we didn't delve into where we're getting that from. Now the Braisa deals with that part of it. Ainly Elabaz Hora. So you would only know so far when it comes to the warning that he's also to have relations with his mother even if she's not his father's wife. Where we see that the mother, whether she's his father's wife or not, is all treated the same. So we see that in the pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, because the pasuk says Ervas Imcha Loisegalei. So Ainli Elabaz Hora she'osa hakosav imoy she'ena eshes aviv ki'imoy she'i eshes aviv, whereby the azhara, by the warning in Achrimos, the Torah is equating his mother who was never his father's wife with his mother who was his father's wife. Oynesh minayin, how do we know the same thing as far as the punishment, as far as skila, that the same din applies whether she was his father's wife or not? So therefore, so now we have another Gzeira Shava. Nemakan Erva Savichalai Sagalai. Oh, actually it's the same. It's the same Gzeira Shava. Nemakan Erva Savichalai Sagalai, the Nemalahalan Ervas of Gila. Where in both Psukim the Pasuk uses the expression Ervas of Gila. Ma ba'azhora osa akos of Imo Shane Aishas Aviv to Imo Shi Aishas Aviv. So just like in the warning in Achrimos, the Torah equates his mother, whether she's his father's wife or not, because they have two Psukim over there, one referring to his mother and one referring to his mother and one referring to his father's wife. The same way when it comes to the penalty to skila, the same thing applies whether she was his father's wife or not. So we see from this whole braisa that Rabbi Yehuda indeed is not using the word ervas of avicha to be a miut, to mean that it applies only when she was his father's wife. But rather, to say that he should be punishable only on those grounds. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda is using that for a different purpose for Gzeira Shava. So that bears out Rava's point that when you have the two things in the Psukim, Imchahi and Eresavichahi, one of them, Imchahi, is meant as a miut, to point to Rabbi Yehuda, that if she was his mother and his father's wife, he's chayav only for the one ground that she was his mother, from the word imchahi, and ervas avicha, he will be using for a different purpose for this gzeira shava to learn about that, to learn that he's chayav whether, for his mother, whether she was his father's wife or not, and for his father's wife, whether she's his mother or not. Okay. The braisa continues when the pasuk says, imchahi. So when the pasuk continues, she is your mother. That's what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. Bishum imay atem chayvoy, you mechayev him only on grounds that he's his mother, that she's his mother. We atem chayvoy mishum eshesav, but not on the grounds that also she's his father's wife. Which again is what Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah, and what we learned yesterday that there was a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So that whole braisa again represents Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and therefore it's clear that in fact Rabbi Yehuda darshens it that way, and therefore, like Rava had said, he's using the words ervas avichahi to teach us a different concept. But imchahi is telling us that where she is both his father's wife and his mother, then you should know the pasuk is saying imchahi. The fact is, because she's your mother, loisa gala avasa, and therefore we learn from that there's only one chiyuv for his mother, which again meaning if that was b'shogeg, he would bring only one chatas according to Rabbi Yehuda and not two. Okay. The question now is, Rabbanan, now according to the Chachamim, what are they doing with, what are they doing, now the Chachamim had disagreed and said that if it was his father's wife and his mother, then he's chayiv on both grounds, so why aren't they using the word imchahi for that kind of miut? So the answer is because part of the whole thing was that Yehuda had to understand that the words ervas avichahi are being used for gzeira shava to teach us about his father's wife, and therefore based on that, Rabbi Yehuda had continued that once we've established that he's chayev for his, once we've established from those psukim that he's chayev for his father's wife. And specifically the Isu Ishus Akosa Madaba, we're talking about when she was his wife. And then we continued to say that Gzeira Shava is also used to teach us that his mother, he's chayev on Znus with his mother, whether it was his father's wife or not. That was Rabbi Yehuda's whole chain of discussion over here. Well, the Chachamim break that by saying Erva Savicha Mamash. The Chachamim say the words Erva Savicha means his father was actual Erva, means that he commits Mishkav Zocho with his father. So the Pasuk is Bechal not talking about his father's wife. So therefore, imchahi is not from the previous pasuk, is also not talking of, in other words, when the pasuk starts off, ervas avicha, the ervas imcha lo isagalei, so Rabbi Yehuda had understood ervas avicha to mean your father's wife, and ervas imcha to mean your mother, and then he darshan imchahi means that in that case, where she's both, then it's only your chayiv, only because of, he's chayiv only because of imchahi. But now the Chacham say, no, to begin with, Eilas Avicha means his father himself, Mishkav Zacha with his father. Therefore, Imchahi is referring only to the mother, and therefore Imchahi at the end of the pasuk is not being memayit anything, because anyway we're talking only about his mother. So they're not using the word Imchahi for that Jerusha. Therefore they can say that in fact he's Chaya for both of them. What he's doing with the word Imchahi, we're going to have at the end of the sugya. We're going to have the drasha of Rav Shisha Breidin of Idi that we touched on yesterday. Well, the Gemara asks, why do you need a particular Isser for Mishkav Zachar with his father? Anyway, the pasuk says that a man is not allowed to commit Mishkav Zachar with another man. His father is another man, so automatically he's Chayav. And the answer is L'chayev Olav Shayim. The answer is that if it was his father, he's in fact Chayev two Chatois. The Chidr of Yehuda, as Rabbi Yehuda explains, the Amr of Yehuda, Nochri Habal Aviv, if a Goy has relations with his father, and we're going to talk about it in a second, what do you mean a Goy? Chayev Shtayim, then he's Chayev two Chatois. One because of the general rule against Mishkav Zachar, and the second one because it's his father. Similarly, continues the Braisa, Habal Achiyoviv, similarly, if this person were to have relations with his father's brother, his uncle, also Chayev Shayim, he would also be Chayev two times, because by a father's brother also, the Pasuk says, Erves Achiyovich Alois Agalei. So the Pasuk continues over there, El Ishtar Le Sikrav Deidos Chahi, don't come close to his wife, because she's your aunt. What we learn from the fact that it starts by saying, so again, the Braisa is saying, according to the Chachamim, because it starts by saying, Erbes Achi Avicha Lois Degalai, then it means a separate Isser as well for his uncle from Mishkav Zachar. Well, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he mentions a Goy does that? A Goy doesn't bring a Chattas for doing such an Aveira. Omar Rava, Misabra Milsa, did Rabbi Yehuda be Yisrael over Shoyig? Misabri Milsa, did Rabbi Yehuda be Yisrael over Shoyig over Korban? It's logical to understand that what Rabbi Yehuda means when he says a Goy, he actually means a Yisrael who did such thing over Shoyig, and we're talking about how many Korbanos he would have to bring. The reason why he uses the goy, he wants to use a nicer lotion. He doesn't want to mention the concept of a yid doing such a disgusting thing, and therefore he uses the expression of goy. But it can't really be a goy, because the sakadadach nochri mamash, if you're talking about a goy, dine mainu, then what would be his punishment? Ketola, he would be executed, because as we're going to learn later on in the parak about Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, this is one of the things that's also to B'nei Noach as well. So what do you mean? It can't anyway. Betray kapli, kapli slay. Are you going to kill him twice? No, of course not. So, and it doesn't even matter if Shoygig or Mezid, because by a Goy, as we're going to learn with Shev Mesech Neinayach later in the Perek, Shoygig would be by a Goy only in very limited circumstances, namely, for example, that he didn't know that this was his, that he didn't know Bechlal that this was his father, but he didn't know that it's also then, then we say ignorance of the law is no excuse, and he's still Chayiv Misa. So therefore, by him, he'd be Chayiv Misa anyway. And you can't kill him twice. So if Yehuda is mentioning such a case, he must actually be referring to a yid, but he doesn't want to mention, it would be so very distasteful to mention that about a yid, and therefore he uses the word nochri. So again, according to the Chachamim, that's how it is. According to the Chachamim, that the words Erves Avicha Loi Segalei refer to Mishkav Zachar with his father, and that there's a separate Isser on that. Whereas according to the Yehuda, Erves Avicha is referring to your father's wife, and saying that when she's also your mother, then there's a double chiyuv involved. So the Gemara continues, Tanya Nami Hochia, we learn similarly in a Braisa, Habal, as far as this Machloikas, about what Erva Savicha, about what Erva Savicha Loisagale means, Habal Oviv Chayev Shtayim, a person commits Mishkav Zachar with his father, he's Chayev twice, Habal Achi Oviv Chayev Shtayim, and if he does that with his uncle, he's also Chayev twice. So now, is this Braisa? So one possibility is Ikka Damri Deloik Rabbi Yehuda. One possibility is that this Braisa is not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because we just said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Erves Avicha Loi Segalei does not refer to the father, but rather to the father's wife. So according to him, then, we might well say that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that he's Chayiv only one Chatas. whether he would say the same thing. As far as the father's brother, that's the discussion about that, whether maybe when it comes to the father's brother, is he using the words Ervas Achio Vicha Loisagale in the same way to say that it refers to his father, to his father's brother's wife, where they were not using it for Xeder Shava. So would he still say that over there it means specifically the father's brother himself, or would he say that in that case, in fact, it does mean the father's brother, and at least he'd agree to that din? So the Knesset Agdola discusses that point and says that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would disagree only as far as the father. Anyway, so one possibility is this Braisa is not according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Ikadami, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yehuda. The other possibility is maybe the Braisa would even be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Umaisi lo v'kavachoyme me'achi oviv. Maybe, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that he is chayev, a second chatas, for committing Mishkav Zohar with his father, but he wouldn't learn it from the words Erva Savicha Lo Segale, because again, he's using that word, Erva Savicha Lo Segale, to teach us a different din, to teach for Xeder Shava, but rather we would say, Mikavachoyme Me'achi Oviv. We would learn it, yeah, because once he agrees that Achi Oviv, he is chayev twice, then we would say, we could learn a Kavachoyme from that, to say that the same thing would apply to his father himself. And the Kavachoyma would be Umachi Oviv de Kurva de Oviv Hu. After all, on what grounds is he chayev something extra for Mishkav Zohar with his father's brother is only because it's only a second level relationship, after all. It's his father's relative. Chayev Shtayim, and you're still saying that he would be chayev two chatois for it. Obviously, like Koshkin, how much more so his own father. So therefore, so according to that way of looking at it, Rabbi Yehuda might well agree with the din. He would just derive it in a different way. Instead of deriving it from Erva Savicha Loisagale, he would derive it from this Kavachoyme. Which, in that case, these Amiroyim, the two different ways of understanding the Braisa, are arguing with the Plugta da Abaye V'Rava. They would be arguing within the same machlokas of Abaya and Rava. Now later on in the Masechta, we're going to discuss the question of whether we talked about yesterday the concept Ein Oishin Min Adin. You can't punish somebody based on a Kavachomer, but is that universally agreed to? There's in fact a machlokas Abaya and Rava in it later on in the Masechta. Mar Sovra Oinshin Min Adin. So the one opinion holds that the second opinion that we said holds that yes, you could, you that are, that at least a coin that who want to make the Braisa work according to the Yehuda as well, they would hold Oinshin Min Adin. It is possible to give a punishment based on a Kavachomer. So therefore, we can make a Kavachomer over here. Madach, his uncle, he would be chayev twice, once for the fact that it's his uncle and once for the fact that it's a Zohar. The same, how much more so with his father, which is a closer relationship. And that would be enough to be mechayev him two Kurbanus. Omar Sava, ancient Min Adin, whereas the other opinion holds that no, you can't do that. You can't use a Kavachomer for a punishment and bring a Kurban. Now, usually, ancient would mean a punishment of Misa or Malkus, but here the Orochoner points out, evidently from this Gemara, we see that also bringing a Kurban would also be considered an Oinish as well. With that said, there was some discussion about that among Achronim, whether maybe it's true that in this case, the Nafkamina is a Korban, but maybe after all, the question is, does there exist an Isser separately? So let's say, for example, we have a different mitzvah where we know the Isser exists as a separate Isser, and the question is just, you have to bring a Korban. Maybe then we would say that you could bring a Korban based on a Kavachoyman. Maybe here, it's just where we're trying to establish in the first place, is there even a separate mitzvah of Mishkav Zohar with his father. In any case, so here we're saying now later on in the Masechta we're going to have a Baya and Rava arguing on that. So the two opinions of how to understand our last Braisa over here, whether it can follow Rabbi Yehuda or not, would reflect those two opinions. The Orachoner also goes on and discusses that. Wait a minute, it's not so much that a Baya holds Oinshin Min Adin. He says the context where the Gemara discusses this later is the question of man and his daughter, where it doesn't actually say it explicitly in the Torah. Erbas bitcha lo segale. So how do we know that it's also, and how do we know that there's a punishment? So later on in the ninth parak of our Masechta, at the beginning of it, Abaye is going to be learning from a kavachoymer, but it's not really a kavachoymer so much as a gili milsav alma, that once the Torah says his granddaughter is also to him, then automatically we realize from that his daughter is also as well, and the Torah Torah just didn't bother specifying it because it's so obvious. So it's not really that he says Oinshin min adin. So the Aruch HaNer discusses that over here, whether in fact, how can we say that there is an opinion of that Oinshin min adin when even Abaye over there was not really saying that. And he explains differently that the Gemara in fact is not, that the Gemara is, what the Gemara is saying is that, according to Abaye, this kind of case, you could have Oinshin min adin, because, after all, because again, after all, we're talking over here only about a korban, and we're saying that, the same way as Abaye says over there, look, why is your granddaughter Osir? Because she's your daughter's daughter, so therefore, all the more so, your daughter is Osir. So we see that Abaye accepts the concept of Oinshin min adin to that limited extent, when we're talking about two degrees of relationship, and the same thing over here, we're also talking about two different degrees of relationship that depend on one another. An uncle depends on the father, and therefore that would be, so therefore we could say that in that case, we would say Oinshin min adin. But it's true, Abaye would not hold that normally in a case where it's not like that, that we should be able to say a kavah chomer would be reason enough for a punishment. No, but in this unique case, he would say that maybe yes. Fine. So we see therefore that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda argue on this point, what Ervas Avicha Loisa Gale means, and therefore according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be only possibly according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be only one chiyuv, or even if he says there's two, then it would be the second one would be learning from a kavah chomer. Well, the Gemara says, "V'rabbanan as hora la'ishus alvim b'nalahu." Now, we've been saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he learns the iser of his father's wife. He learns from the words "erba savicha," because again, he learns that "erba savicha" doesn't mean your father himself; it means your father's wife. Well, according to the Chachamim, where are we learning an azhara? An oinish for the father's wife, sure, we have that in Parshas Kedoshim. But again, ein oinshin elim ken mazirin, to punish, there has to have been a warning ahead of time. Where is there the warning for a man not to have relations with his father's wife who's not his mother? So Menolahu, where so Azhora Laishasav Menolahu? And the answer is Nafkalahu, me eris aishasavichaloisagale. They learn it from the fact the next pasuk says don't uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. Well, but Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that pasuk? The answer is Ahumi Bayla Azhora Laishas Aviv Achamisa. He says, fine, we need that pasuk to teach us that she's still also to him even after his father dies. Otherwise you would think, fine, as long as she's married to his father, or fine, if his father divorced her or something, maybe she's also, but maybe when his father died, he would be mutter. So you need that second pasuk to tell us that not. V'rabbanon, and the Chacham would answer to that, Hahum is safer to Kro Nafka. They learn that from the end of the pasuk. Eras Avichahi. She is the nakedness of your father. V'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda answers back, so we're learning, first of all, from the fact that it says Eras Avichahi, or specifically, maybe we're learning from the fact that it says he, which implies that she still retains her status of Eras Avicha as she was before, even though now Avicha is no longer living. V'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda answers back, he says, Ahumi boile, mishum eishas avat mechaive v'yat mechaive mishum eishas ish. That he learns for a different point, he uses that to learn, the same way as he said in the Mishnah, about his mother, who's his father's wife, that if the son commits his nus with her, he's chayev only on the grounds that she's his mother, not the fact that also she's his father's wife. Rabbi Yehuda says the same way, if this woman is still married to his father, and again, she's not his mother, she's his stepmother, that if he's mizana with her, he would be chayev, Rabbi Yehuda says, only on the grounds that she's his father's wife, and not additionally the fact that she's an eishes ish, even though she is, Rabbi Yehuda is learning that from those words, erbas avichahi. Well, what do you mean? Vahanantnan, what do you mean? We learned in the Mishnah exactly that case. Habal eishes av, he has relations with his father's wife. Chayev alei mishum eishes av or mishum eishes ish. He's chayev on two grounds, because she's his father's wife and because she's a married woman, because his father is still married to her. Veloy polig, and that applies bein b'chaye oviv, bein la'achamises oviv, whether his father is alive or even after his father died, v'loy polig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is not disagreeing with that. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says he'd be chayev on only one ground? The answer is polig b'braisa. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda, Abaye says, in fact, he does argue in a braisa. There was a braisa to sefta, an arm of sefta, where Rabbi Yehuda does spell out and says that yes, he argues in that case as well, and says that he's chayev only for eishes aviv and not for eishes ish. So yeah, the same way as Rabbi Yehuda says, the same way as Rabbi Yehuda uses the words imchahi to say that he's chayev only if she's his mother and not for the fact that she's his father's wife. The same way when it's his father's wife who is also an eshes ish, then Rabbi Yehuda is using the words erves avichahi to say that he's chayev only because she's his father's wife and not because she's an eshes ish. Whereas the Chachamim don't hold of those miyotim, and therefore they say that he'd be chayev on all the possible grounds. So the Gemara continues. V'rabbanan, what about according to the Chachamim, Oynesh De'eshes of Lacha Misim and Olahu, where are they learning? We say there's an Azhara, there's a warning to not have relations with his father's wife after his father died. But where do we see the Oynesh? Where do we see that Skila applies in that case as well? Bishlema Rabbi Yehuda, Maisila B'Gzeira Shava. Now Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem because he uses his Gzeira Shava that he did before, and therefore he says the same way as you have by the Oynesh, the same way as by the Azhara. El Rabbanan Menolahu, but according to the Chachamim, they didn't hold of that Zera Shava because they used the words Ervas Avicha and Ervas Aviv for different Limudim Menolahu. So where are they getting that if his father died and the son commits Znus with the father's wife after the father died, that he's still Chayv Skila? The answer is how who eres aviv demapik lo Rabbi Yehuda amilach. The answer is they're going to tell you how who eres aviv demapik lo Rabbi Yehuda l'gzeira shava. The same words eres aviv gila, which Rabbi Yehuda is using for gzeira shava, mapkilei inhu lo oynesh de'eshes aviv lachamisa. They're using it to teach us that it applies even after the father died. Okay. One more point we need to discuss then as far as this. How do we know, according to the Chachamim, that if it's mother who that if it's his mother who never was his father's wife, because the father was Ma'anasur or whatever, Menolahu, how do we know? Rabbi Yehuda, again, learned it from his Zera Shava. The Chachamim don't have that Zera Shava, so therefore, how are they learning that point? And the answer is Omer of Shisha Be'edir Abidi Omer Krah, because the pasuk says Imchahi. Here is where we're using, according to the Chachamim, the words Imchahi, she is your mother. Meaning, Asa Hakosav the Ima Sheina Eishes Aviv Ki Ima She Eishes Aviv. The Torah is saying that his mother, whether she's a Imcha He, we learn from the word He, Bahava Yosa He, she has her status as Imcha, whether she was ever married to your father or not. So we learn from that, Asa Akosav Le'ima Sheina Eishes Aviv, the Pasuk is considering his mother, who's not his father's wife, Ki'ima She Eishes Aviv, exactly the same as his mother, who is his father's wife, and either way there's the Oynesh of Skila involved over there. So ultimately, as far as the actual dinim then, so the dinim are as follows. Everybody agrees that his mother is also to him and that there's skila involved, whether she was his father's wife or whether or not. Rabbi Yehuda learns that from the Gzeira Shava, the Chum learn it from the word imchahi. Everybody agrees also that a father's wife is also to him, whether the father is alive or not. The Chachamim learn that from the words Erbas Avichahi, and Rabbi Yehuda learns it from his Gzeira Shava. As far as now the nafkaminas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are strictly as far as the number of punishments, the number of Yisurim, and therefore the number of Chatois. So if it was his father's wife, who's also still married to his father, according to the Chachamim, two Chatois, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only one. If it was his mother who also was his father's wife, then according to the Chachamim, two chatois, one for his mother, one for his father's wife, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only one for the fact that she's his mother. And if he committed Mishkav Zohar with his father, then we have two possibilities within Rabbi Yehuda. Would he say that in that case he's chayev only one, or would we say that in that case Rabbi Yehuda uses a Kal V'Chomer to say that he's chayev two? Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said Abba Kalosi. Although the Mishnah had mentioned a case where he has relations with his daughter-in-law, where there we said he's chayev because she's his daughter-in-law and also because she's a married woman. So the Gemara asks, "V'chayev nami mishum eishes bnoi?" Why don't we say, after all, the lashon haposik is Erbas Kalos Kalos Galay. Do not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. Eishes bin Chahi, she is your son's wife. Lois Gala Ervasa, don't uncover her nakedness. So it sounds like there's two lavim, one for a daughter-in-law and one for his father and one for his son's wife. Abaya says they're not actually two different Isurim. The Pasuk begins by calling her Kalosai and ends with Eishes Bnoi, Loi Maloch, to tell you, Zuhi Kalosai, Zuhi Eishes Bnoi. You should realize that it's actually the same thing. Those are two different words for the same thing. And so why does it repeat it? Is to teach us that it applies even after the son died. So that takes care of the Azhara. As far as the Oynesh, Tosfos points out that we have Gzeira Shava, because since it said Dzmehem Bam in this case, and we see by Eishes Oven, it also said Dzmehem Bam, so since we just established in the previous piece of Gemara that Eishes Oven applies after the father dies, then Kalosai, the daughter-in-law, also applies after the son dies as well, even though she's not actually his daughter-in-law anymore, but nevertheless she was his daughter-in-law. And therefore we learn from that. That's according to Tosfos. That's according to Rashi and Tosfos. The Ramban disagrees with that and says for that you don't really need a pasuk for that. Rather, the words Eishes Binchahi is explaining. In other words, you have to understand what the word Kalosai means. You would think otherwise, Kala could conceivably mean what we think of as a Kala, Chosen and Kala. So in other words, when she knew they got married, you wouldn't know that it means even after they've been married, even after they've been fully married and living together for a while, then you wouldn't know that. And therefore, the pasuk needs to say Eishes Binchahi, that she is your son's wife, and therefore, in other words, that it applies across the board, even though the son is no longer living. In fact, there was a point in that actually. When you get down to it, where one of the Mephoshim points out, when it comes to a father, after all, when it comes to a father's wife, you can distinguish. It's possible for a woman to be a father's wife and not be your mother, as we discussed in the previous sugya. But by definition, your son's wife is your daughter-in-law. Therefore, Abaya is explaining that they're not two separate isurim. It's always, it's exactly the same thing, and it applies even after the son has died. Mishnah continues, going through the list of people that we learned in the previous Mishnah. We had the list of 18 cases where a person gets skila. So we went through the details of a couple of them. So now let's go through more. The Mishnah continues, Habala Schor, a man has relations with another man. By the way, Rashi on Amud Beis points out an interesting linguistic point. The word Zohar means a man. The word Zohar actually means the orifice, the hole in which Bia takes place with a man. So in other words, Rashi says, for example, later on, we're going to have an expression on Amud Beis, Habala Schor, the Havi Zohar Olav. You can't say the Havi Zohar Olav, because by definition, the Zohar of the other person is not involved in this. So here we're saying Habala Schor means he actually has relations by using the zchur, by using the whole of the zohar that he's using for this purpose. Va'ala behema, or he has relations with a behema, va'isha mevias a behema aleha, and we said a woman who mates with an animal. So all of those things, the skila, all of those cases are chayiv skila, and in the case of the animal is chayiv skila as well. So the Mishnah asks him, odem chota behema machota, the person did something wrong, but what did the animal do wrong? That it should be chayiv skila. And the point is that the Ran points out that in the Mishnah we were talking about also, the previous Mishnah had mentioned a couple of cases. There was a case where a man commits bestiality with the animal, so the man is the active one and the animal is passive. So the question is, in that case and all the other cases, what did the animal do wrong? Mela, in other words, in a way you could say with a woman that we're talking about over here in On Mishnah, fine, you could say the animal was the active partner after all, maybe therefore you could say, but it also includes cases where the animal is completely passive, so what did it do wrong? The reason is because a person stumbled in Aveira through that animal, and therefore the animal has to be put to death. Therefore the animal has to be given skila because a person was brought to an Aveira through it. Another reason, you don't want this animal to be walking around in the marketplace. And people are going to say, Zuhi Shnisko Pliny Al Yada, this is the animal that Pliny was given skila because of it. In other words, we want to still salvage the guy's dignity as much as possible, that it shouldn't be people are going to continue talking about it every time they see this animal. Okay. The Gemara says, Zohar Menolon, where do we know from the Pasuk that having relations with a Zohar is Chayev Skila? So the Tanan Abban, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Again, let's quote the pasuk in full, and then the Gemara is going to douche in it phrase by phrase. The ish asher yishkav es zachar, a man who lies with another man, mishkave isha, in the lyings of a woman, te'eva osu shneim, they've both done something disgusting, mois yumasu, they're both put to death, d'mehem bam, their blood is on them, which we established before, d'mehem bam means skila. So, let's douche in phrase by phrase. Ish prapla cotton. The word ish comes to exclude where the active partner was a cotton. So again, as we've been learning several times, the point is that again, if he's below 9, it's not considered bia in halacha at all. But even if he's above nine, where therefore the nishkav, the one whom he's doing it to, is going to be chayiv misa, as long as it was berotzen, as long as it was edim basra and the whole 9 yards. Nevertheless, the cotton is still not chayiv misa because he's a cotton. When it says asher yishkav es zocher, it says that he lies together with a zocher. Now it doesn't. Now there it doesn't say the word asher yishkav es ish. Here it refers to lying with a zocher, implying therefore bein gadol bein katan, implying that the chiyuv skila for mishkav zocher applies whether the receiving one, the nishkav, as the Gemara is going to call him later on, is a gadol or a katan. Now we're going to qualify that later in the Gemara. There's different ages as far as a katan for this purpose, but the point is, in other words, that the shoychev, we're saying, is not chayiv misa unless he's a certain age. But if an adult, if a boy by mitzvah or older is the active one, and the receiving one is a cotton, then we're saying that the older one is still going to be chayiv misa. Then the pasuk continues, and the point is, in other words, that if the shoychev was less than 9, then the nishkav, even if he's a gadol, is potter. But the Sefer Yireim and the Ran points out that no, if the shoychev, if the active one, was 9 years old, where it's considered bia, then the gadol would be chayav misa. So we're saying that the recipient doesn't have to be a gadol, he can be a cotton, and the gadol who did it to him is still chayiv misa. The pasuk continues, mishkave isha, the lyings of a woman. We learn from that, magid l'cha akosiv, sheshnei mishkaves v'isha. We learn from that that there's two possible things that are considered lyings, two things that are considered having relations with a woman, kedauka and shaloi kedauka. Because by a man, there's only the one, shaloi kedauka, and the pasuk is calling it mishkave isha in the plural, implying, in other words, that by a woman, there would be, where there are two available things, kedauka and shaloi kedauka, both of them are equally considered via, for almost all purposes in halacha. For example, that when we say kedushe bia would work with either one of them, yibum would work with either one of them, either one is chi of misa or chatas, etc. Next, the pasuk says moisu masu, they are put to death. That means b'skila. So again, that means b'skila. After omer b'skila, you're saying skila. How do you know that it means? I skipped a line. Omer b'shmal hareza bala lamed v'nim salamed. So Rabbi Shmuel says, look at this. You have this pasuk over here. It sounds like the pasuk is coming to teach you something, but actually, from the pasuk, we're learning something from the pasuk about mishkav zocher, even though it's bia shaloi kedarka, that nevertheless he's chayiv and nimtza lomed, and it comes out that actually the pasuk is teaching you about something else about mishkave isha. Because of course, in other words, by a zocher there is only the one place available. So by definition, any mishkave zocher is going to be any mishkav zocher is going to be using that hole. Nevertheless, since the Torah takes the time to write over here mishkave isha, then we learn from it this point that we just said that by an isha there are two possibilities, and then from there we learn that with a woman shaloi kedarka he would be chayev. The Gemara continues. Mois yumasu means beskila. After omer beskila, ene alavachas become misas amuris batora. Maybe it means one of the other misses. No, again we have the same zeta shava that we've learned several times. Nemakan dmeyem bum, but nemakan oibi yidoni dmeyem bum. Mala halan beskila, afkan beskila. So therefore we see that mishkav zocher is chayev skila. Oynesh shamaynu, so far the Braisa says, we see the oynesh, we see the punishment of skila, as hora minayin, but where is the warning in the Torah not to? Again, we have the rule, loy onash elim ken hizir, in order to give a punishment, there has to have previously been a warning. Now, Tosfos points out further on the Amud, the Gemara is going to point out a Gzeira Shava, that this Gzeira Shava of Mehem Bam, Gemara is going to point out in a different context that sometimes we see that when we can learn a Gzeira Shava from the Onesh to the Azhara. But here the Gemara is not understanding, here the Gemara is not assuming that it should be like that, that we should be able to use the same Gzeira Shava that teaches about us about the punishment. That we should be able to learn the warning from it as well. The Gemara is not assuming that you can't do that. You can't use a Gzeira Shava for that kind of purpose to learn an Azhara from an Oynish. So where's the Azhara? Talmud Loyma Vas Zochol Sishka Mishkva Isha Ta'evahi in Parshas Achrim. Again, with all the other Arayas, it says don't lie with a male the way you do with the lyings of a woman Ta'evahi because it's a disgusting thing. So there's the clear issue in the Torah against doing this. So far that covers the azhara to the active partner, because loy sishkav mishkav isha implies that you, a zohar, should not do this to another zohar. Lanishka azhara lanishkav minayin. Where do we see that there is also an azhara, a warning for the nishkav, for the receiving partner? So for that we have Talmud. So Talmud Loima, there we have a different pasuk that Now, a point is, Rashi explains elsewhere in Shas. The question is, I mean, let's say, for example, we talked before about a mother or a daughter-in-law or whatever, all the different arayas. You usually don't need two different isurim for them. Once you have an isur, for example, a man's not allowed to have relations with his mother, then it also includes the mother is not allowed to allow her son to have relations with her. You don't need a separate isur for that. Why all of a sudden over here is the Gemara bothered by that you should need a separate azhara for the shoychev and the nishkav? And Rashi explains basically because in the case of a man and a woman, each of them is getting pleasure from it as well, so therefore there's no reason that we should have to have separate isurim. But over here, the shoychev is having pleasure, the nishkav is not, and therefore we need a separate, therefore the Gemara is looking for a separate isur for where it says that there should be an isur on the nishkav as well. So Tamad Lema Lo Yekodesh Mivnei Yisrael. Pasuk says later on in Parshas Kiseitze, it says that there should not be a Kodesh among Bnei Yisrael. Kodesh means someone who's available for Mishkav Zohar, so someone who's available to be a receiver for that. And how do we know that Kodesh means that? The Omer, because we have a Pasuk in Malachim that describes in the times of some of the wicked kings of Yehuda, and in particular in the time of Rechavam, the first king after the Aseret HaShevatim split off from Malchus Yehuda. The first couple of years it says Malchus Yehuda was doing good, but then they started doing Averis. And the Pasuk says, V'gam Kodesh Hoya Ba'aretz, there was also Kodesh in the land, also Kecholat Ha'eres HaGoyim, Ashehodesh V'goyim, they were doing all the same kinds of disgusting things that the Knanim, whom Hashem had dispossessed from Bnei Yisrael, had been doing earlier. So we see from that, since the Pasuk says, they were doing like the disgusting things that the Goyim did, and by Mishkav Zohar, also it says in the Pasuk, so therefore we understand that it means that the Kodesh, Hoya Ba'aretz, was also this kind of thing as well, that there was Mishkav Zohar going on. And since it says lo yia kodesh mibnei Yisrael, then we understand that that's what a kodesh is, somebody available for Mishkav Zohar. So putting that all together, therefore that teaches us that there is an azhara for the shoychev, for the nishkav as well. The shoychev we're learning from Vas Zohar le Sishkav Mishkav Eisha, and the nishkav says Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that the nishkav we're learning from lo yia kodesh. And how does he know the definition of Kodesh is by comparing this point about the word Te'eva. A number of Mephoshim deal in some detail with details of this. If we're saying that we learn Te'eva Balei Kodesh from Te'eva of Mishkav Zohar, so why don't we just say that we learn Te'eva from one to the other? It says Te'eva by the Azhara, and it says Te'eva by the Onish. And once we've established that the Onish applies to both of them, then we should say the word Te'eva also means both of them, and then he doesn't need Lo Yekodesh in the first place. The point is, in other words, that
Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Shmuel is not so much making a Gzeira Shava, but Rabbi Shmuel is explaining the definition of Lo Yekodesh is talking about Mishkav Zohar and clarifies that using the Pasuk in Melachim. And therefore, so it means, in other words, that we learn the Azhara from that. Instead of, as we said before, you can't really learn an Azhara. So an Azhara, you can learn from a Gzeira Shava, but Rabbi Shmuel is not doing that way because Rabbi Shmuel didn't have a Gzeira Shava for that. So therefore, he has to use the words Lo Yekodesh to be teaching us about the Nishkav.
Okay, that was according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Oyma Enet Sarich. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need that limud. You don't need the pasuk Lo Yekodesh. In fact, Rabbi Akiva is going to say that the word Lo Yekodesh is teaching us a different din. Rashi mentions on the pasuk that it means, among other things, that an eved Knani is not allowed to have relations with a Bas Yisrael or vice versa. So Rabbi Akiva Oyma Enet Sarich. Harehu Oyma Vesvacha Lo Sishkav. Given that the pasuk says, don't lie with a man, Sishkav is in active form, which means you shouldn't be the active one. But also, Kribe Lo Sishachev, we can also read the word with different nekudas, as if it said, Sishachev, you should not be laying with, which would be the Azhara for the Nishkav, who is being laying with, who is being the receiving partner. Now, a couple of the Rishonim point out, the Yad Ramah, the Ran, point out that at the beginning of the Masechta, we learned that Rabbi Akiva is actually one of the ones who holds Yesh Eim LeMikra. We have to go strictly according to the way that the word is actually read. Whereas over here he seems to be saying that you can read the word Tishkav as if it said Tishachev, which would be Yesh Eim LeMasorah, but we said before that Rabbi Akiva holds Yesh Eim LeMikra. So they explain it's not really that he's rereading the pasuk, it's rather that he's saying the word loisishkav automatically implies both. The word loisishkav automatically implies it means automatically when it's saying you can't be active, then you can't be passive either. It's more a logical thing. And the Ran brings in this connection we find by the daughters of Loit, where the older one says to the younger one, Hein shachavti emesh esavi, I lay with my father yesterday, and she was by definition the passive one, and we see that can still be called Shachavti. So Rabbi Akiva says you learn it from the very positive Lois Sishkav, which can also be read as if it was Lois Sishachev. Okay. So that takes care of the Zohar. Behema Manolon, what about when it comes to a Behema? How do we know also that, so let's work out the Azhara and the Onesh for people who have relations with animals. So again, the Tanna Rabbanan, we learn in a Pasuk, and here also let's quote the Pasuk in full. The Isha Shigitin Shchavti Bebehema, a man who puts his lying with an animal, most you must, he's put to death, Vesa Behema Taroigu, and the animal you should also kill. So again, Ish Prat Lekotin, so again, Ish means, as opposed to a cotton, that he's not Chayiv Misa, Ashigitin Shchavti Bebehema, that he lies with the animal, that he's the active partner with an animal, Ben Gdola Ben Ktana, that applies whether the animal is an adult animal or even a baby animal. Unlike with a person, where we said before there can be a difference of the age of the ages, with an animal there's no distinction. So in other words, the point is that Orach HaNer explains before when we talked about two men or a man and a boy, the Ran had understood before that if the child who's the active one is below nine, then the Gadol is not getting Nisa. So the point is, by an animal there's no such distinction. Even if the animal is below the age where it would normally have relations, then nevertheless the man is still Chayev. And it means also, therefore, if a man is being the active one with the animal, then also the animal is, then he and the animal are chayiv misa, whether the animal is an adult or a baby animal. Next, the Braisa continues, most you must beskila, after ima beskila, and the ba'achas b'chom misa samuris batorah, so the same gzera shava, so now we have a different gzera shava. Nemer kan taharoigu, the posuk says that you should kill the animal, v'nemer lahalam ki horeg taharoigu, by a mesis to avodah zarah, the posuk says that you should kill him. Mala halam beskila, and therefore, just like by a mesis, he's chayiv skila, as the pasuk in fact says clearly by the mesis of skalte ba'avonim v'mes afkan beskila. Therefore, we learn by the gzera shava from the word taharoigu that we learn gzera shava and say that it means that he gets skila. To be sure, the word taharoigu is referring to the animal, not to the person, but nevertheless, the Nevertheless, the Gemara is saying that you have the same kind of thing as with a woman. The pasuk also says v'asabehema taharoigu, even though by definition the animal is the active one. So therefore, we learn from that over here also that the same thing, the man himself is chayev skila as well because he's the active one. Okay. As lamanu onish l'shoichiv, that takes care of the punishment for the shoichiv, where he's the active one with the animal. Onish l'nishkav minolan, how do we know the same onish is if a man caused an animal to have relations with him? So therefore, Talmud Lema kol shoichiv behema mois yumas, you have another pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says anyone who lies with an animal is put to death. Im eina inin l'shoichiv, now you don't need it to teach us about the shoichiv, because that you already have the pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois and tradition for that. So therefore, it's Neu in the Nishkav. So therefore, instead, you can use it to teach us about the Nishkav. And again, the idea would be, like we said before, the Shoichav and the Nishkav are both Chayiv Misa. Okay, Lamanu Onish ben the Shoichav ben the Nishkav. That covers the punishment for the man with the animal, whether he's the Shoichav or the Nishkav. Azhara Minayin, how do we know the Azhara, where's the warning to not be a Shoichav or a Nishkav with an animal? Tamad Lema, therefore the Pasuk says, in Achrei Mos, over Chol Behemah, lo sit in Shchav to Chol Tamavah, do not put your lying with any animal to become Tomei with it. Lamanu Azhara L'Shoichav, that covers the Shoichav, because he's the one, lo sit in, do not put, implying don't be the active partner. L'Nishkav Minayin, how do we know that the Nishkav is also included? Tamad Lema, lo Yakodesh Mimnei Yisrael, therefore we have again the pasuk that we quoted before, there should not be a Kodesh among the Jewish people, va'oimer v'gam kodesh shoyu ba'aretz, and we had the pasuk from Malachim clarifying before what kodesh is, where it used the word chol toyev es ha'goyim, like they did like all the disgusting things that the goyim did, which includes also the animal, because the animal was also mentioned among the arayas over there. So dibri Rabbi Shmuel, so again Rabbi Shmuel learns that's where you learn from that the nishkav with an animal is chayev misa. Rabbi Akiva Oimein Etzorech, and again Rabbi Akiva says you don't really need that. Harehu Oimer Lo Sikin Shchav Tuchav, the pasuk says do not place your lying, which again we can learn similar to before, Lo Sikin Shchivascha, do not place your being lain with. In other words, the word Shchiva applies to both the active and the passive one. Just as we said before, for example, you have the pasuk from Benois Loit, so therefore, yes, we can learn according to Rabbi Akiva that it applies across the board to both of them, the Shoichiv or the Nishkav. Tosfos points out in this connection that by the zohar, it clearly by the two zchorim, it clearly says the word te'eva by the animal. It doesn't explicitly say te'eva by it, but afterwards the pasuk continues v'uv v'chol behema, and the vav ties it together. So therefore, it means that te'eva applies to that as well, and therefore Shmuel can learn the same thing as he learned before that the gam kodesh hayu ba'aretz also k'chol te'eva es hagoyim. We can learn from that an animal is also included in the Gam Kodesh Hoya Ba'aretz, and Rabbi Akiva says you don't need to, because anyway, Lo Sitin Shchav Techa, we can darshan as Lo Sitin Shchivascha, because it means both active and passive. Well, the Gemara is going to point out a number of nafka minnes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva's opinions. Amar Rabbi Bohu, L'divri Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Habala Schur Behavioral of Zohar, if a person then had relations as the active one with a Zohar, and also he then was the passive one with a Zohar, here is where Rashi points out that Zohar and Zohar are two different things. Zohar means a male, Zohar means the whole that is used for having relations with a passive male. So now, if it was both behelam echad, so that he didn't know that such things are osur, and he was both the active and the passive. The divrei Rabbi Shmuel chayev shtayim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he would now be chayev for two chatois, because there are two different psukim. One ve'es zochal lo yisishkav, and the other one lo yikardesh v'bnei Yisrael. So two different yisurim, two different chatois. Choda milo yisishkav v'choda milo yikardesh. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who learns from the fact that it says lois sishkav, and we can read it as if it said lois sishokiv, ain't a chayiv ala achas, and it comes out according to Rabbi Akiva, he would be chayiv only one chatas. Tosfos actually points out that that actually they are different beers. So therefore, so maybe he should be high of two different ones anyway. But Tosfos discusses on the basis of a Gemara in Christos the possibilities that maybe in fact that maybe in fact according to the Akiva, since you only have one pasuk, then in fact it would be only one. And also you have an opinion over there that says that even if they are different bodies, even if they're different gufim or different beers, then nevertheless it could still all be counted as one. Okay, another example, Habala Behema Behebi Behema Olav. What happens if, continues Rav Abohu, what about if he were to have relations as the active partner with an animal and then brought an animal on him as that he was the passive one and was also Behela Mechad? Omer Rav Abohu, so Rav Abohu says the same thing. I skipped a line over there. So according to Rabbi Bohu, he would have a Ladivir Rabbi Akiva, Ein Chayv Al Achas Loisishkav Loisishachiv Chodehi, because Loisishkav and Loisishachiv is the same pasuk. We're just learning it in two different ways, and therefore according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be only one lav. Similarly, Habala Behema Behemi Behema Olav, Amar Rabbi Bohu the Ladivir Rabbi Shmuel Chayv Shnayim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he'd be Chayv two Chatois, Chodah Miloisit and Shchav Tachav Chodah Malaya Kodesh, because there's two different psukim. The Ladivir Rabbi Akiva Ein Chayv Al Achas, and according to Rabbi Akiva, he'd be Chayv only one Chatas, Shchav Tachav Shchivos Chachas Chodahi, because again, we're learning it from the same pasuk, we're just punctuating the words in the pasuk differently. That's according to Rabbi Bohu. Abaya Omar, Abaya says no. Afilu the divrei Rabbi Shmuel nami ein chayv al achas. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, when it comes to the animal, he'd be chayv only one. Because Abaya says, it's one thing by the zohar and the zchur, fine, they're different psukim. But when it comes to the animal, dechik siv lo yekodesh, because the pasuk lo yekodesh, Abaya says, is not actually referring to znus with an animal at all, but only znus with people. The expression is, and the Gemara has elsewhere the expression, ein znus lo behema. Relations with an animal are not called znus in halacha. It's also obviously in the zchi of misa involved, but it's not considered znus. Elsewhere, the Gemara learns it out from the fact that the pasuk said that the pasuk mentions esnan zoino mechir kelev, implying that there's no such thing as esnan kelev. There's no such thing. Esnan is the fee that a person pays a zoina to have relations with her, and it doesn't say that there's an isser of esnan kelev. And in fact, it's not. We learn from that ein znus labehema, which has implications in other areas of halacha. The point being, therefore, Abaya says, so therefore you can't say, lo yekodesh is, that we can't say that from lo yekodesh, we're learning that the person is chayev for having relations, for being had relations with an animal. So according to Abaya, you have to say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's only one chiyuv. Well, the question is, Elo Rabbi Shmuel Azhara L'Nishka V'Naleh. Well, then we're back to the question, according to Rabbi Shmuel, where does he learn an Azhara for the Nishkav? Before we said that he learned from Lo Yekodesh. Now Abaya is disagreeing with that Jerusha. Now, how can Abaya disagree with Rabbi Shmuel? Rashi explains, because Abaya would say that really Rabbi Shmuel is not actually learning from there. He's only doing it l'ravcha de milse. He's only doing it in order to have an easier way of understanding it. But really, Rabbi Shmuel is not actually learning it from that, because again, like Abaya says, ein znus l'behema. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel necessarily has to have a different way of learning it. So where is he learning it from? The answer is Nafgalei Mikol Sheichav and Behema Mois Yumas. He learns it from the pasuk that we quoted before, from Parashas Mishpatim. Anyone who lies with an animal is put to death. Im Ene Inyan L'Sheichav. Now again, we don't need it for the Sheichav because we have the pasuk Isha Sheyutin Shchavdoi Tnei Inyan L'Nishkav. Then the pasuk is using it. Then the pasuk is referring to the Nishkav. V'Apke Rachmana L'Nishkav V'Loshin Sheichav. So then, why does it say Sheichav, which suggests the active form? So therefore, Abaya explains, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because it teaches us ma shoychev onash v'hizir, just like when it comes to the shoychev, when he's acting as the active one with the animal, we have both an onash and we have a warning in the pasuk, because the pasuk says v'chol behema lo yisitin shchav t'chav, which is the warning, and v'isha sheyitin shchav to behema mos yumas, which is the punishment. Afkan Afnishkav onash v'hizir. The same way, we can learn the same thing, that there's not only a penalty but also a warning for the nishkav. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we actually don't need the pasuk for gam kod. We actually don't need the pasuk lo yekodesh at all. He only used the word. He only used the pasuk la yakodesh just to make it easier to understand. But really, he's not actually learning from that. Leravcha de milsei. He was only using it. Ikar azhara is not really from there, but rather from kol shoytev behemah mois yumas, and the fact that it was phrased using the word shoytev. So therefore, so Abaye says, when it was with an animal, even Rabbi Shmuel would have to agree that there's only one chatas, because there's only one pasuk from which we learn the shoychev and the nishkav. We have a second pasuk, but the second pasuk is just clarifying for us that the nishkav is also chayev. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Bohu, Tosfos points out, Rabbi Bohu would say the reason why it says kol shoychev and behema, that teaches us that the animal, when it's being judged by Beis Din, has to be judged by 23, just like the person. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. Avol, Abal aschur behavi zocher olav, Abal behema behavi behema olav. What about if all in one helamechad he had relations with a male, he being the active one, and then he was the passive one with the male, and then he had relations with an animal as the active one, and then he had relations with an animal as the passive one, and all of that was the helamechad bein l'Rav Abahu bein l'Abaya. Then there's no machlokas between. I skipped a whole part over here. Sorry, I keep on doing that. I should really get myself a pointer or something. Okay, Omer Rabba Bohu. So now another case. Hanirbal azochav, hanirbal abehema. What about? So far we discussed what would happen. So far we said, what about if he was active and passive with a man, the Helamechad. So again, according to Rabba Bohu, Rabbi Shmuel would hold that there's two chatoris, and Rabbi Akiva would hold only one. Active and passive with an animal, Rabbi Avohu says that Rabbi Shmuel would also be Mechayev two, and Rabbi Akiva only one, and Abaya argues that no, even Rabbi Shmuel would be Mechayev only one. How about Hanirbal Azochav Hanirbal Abahema? What about if he was the passive one with a Zochar and the passive one with a Behema, and it was all Behela Mechad? According to Rabbi Akiva, he'll be chayev. Here we have the other way around. According to Rabbi Akiva, he's going to be chayev too. Chodah meloy sishka v'chodah meloy sikin shchobdecha, because there's two different psukim. The divrei Rabbi Shmuel and chayev ala achas. Whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, we would say it's chayev only one. Idi loy yakodesh hu, because Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Bohu, is learning both of them from the same pasuk loy yakodesh. Because again, according to Rabbi Bohu, we said that it's all learned from the according to Rabbi Shmuel and the Braisa before. He learned both of them, the passive one by a man and the passive one by an animal. He's learning from Lo Yekodesh. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would be only one chatas. Abaya Omer, Afilu L'Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Nami Chayev Shtayim. Again, Abaya disagrees and says even Rabbi Shmuel would be Mechayev too, because Dichtiv Kol Shoychev Behema Mois Yumas. The pasuk says anyone who lies with an animal is put to death. That pasuk from Parshas Mishpatim. V'im Eini Inu L'Shoychev. And as we just said, given that it's not needed to teach us about the Shoychev, because we have a different pasuk for that, Tneu Inu L'Nishkev. Then it refers to the Nishkev. V'Apki Rachmanu L'Shoychev V'Nishkev B'Loshen Shoychev. And again, even though we're talking about he's passive, the Torah is talking as though he's the active one. To teach us that by the nishkav as well, there's both a warning and a punishment. So again, according to Abaya's understanding of Rabbi Shmuel, there are in fact two different isurim over here, and therefore even Rabbi Shmuel would have to agree that it's two. Aval, but now, if he was active and passive with a male, and active and passive with an animal, and it was all behelam echad, bein l'Rav Abahu, bein l'Abaya, l'Rav Shmuel, chayiv shalosh, l'Rav Akiva, chayiv shtayim. Then both Rav Abahu and Abaya would have to agree that according to Rav Shmuel, he would be chayiv three chatois, one for being the active one with the zocher, one for being the passive one with the zocher, and the third one for being with the animal. Because, in other words, according to Rabbi Bohu, we would say that that would work according to both Rabbi Bohu and Abaya, because according to Rabbi Bohu, we don't have a fourth one, because according to him, you're learning the passive one with the animal, the nirba for the animal, and you're learning the nirba from the zocher from the same pasuk, according to Rabbi Shmuel. And according to Abaya, because the two with the animal, reveya and nirba, active and passive, we're learning from the same pasuk. So according to both of them, it would come out that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there would be three, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Rabbi Akiva, Chayv Shtayim, and according to Rabbi Akiva, there would be two. One for the man, one for the animal. Each one of them, each one of them, Rabbi Akiva is learning the active and the passive from the same pasuk, so therefore they would both have to agree that there would be only two chatois in either of these cases. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow with this topic, with the topic of Zohar and Behema and all of that.
Shkayach.
Shkayach, everyone.